Good morning and welcome to worship here at St. Paul on a chilly, snowy Sunday morning. This is Transfiguration Sunday, and we welcome all of you to worship this morning, especially those who might be guests or visitors with us in worship this morning. We have the great joy of having the children from our parochial school join us in singing this morning. We look forward to that later, and welcome to all of you. A welcome as well to those of you who are joining us over local radio station KWBE this morning here in our area. And we surely want to thank Dave and Peggy Doring for making that possible this morning, especially in honor of their wedding anniversary that's approaching on this coming Wednesday. Which, by the way, a little reminder to all of you fellows, it's Valentine's Day on Wednesday. Just a subtle hint and reminder, but even more importantly, it's Ash Wednesday. What an unusual experience. I saw a note from a friend of mine in the ministry who said, how entirely fitting that Ash Wednesday should be Valentine's Day this year as we come back to the heart of God. That's really what the focus of the message is on Transfiguration Sunday. I want to offer a personal word of thanks this morning. I want to thank all of the people who are so faithful in putting the Lord's Supper here before us and all the extra effort that's involved in that. And I want to extend a note of thanks to the men and women who make sure that by the time all the rest of us get here, the snow is removed from the sidewalks and from the parking lot. Deeply appreciated. In Bible class this morning, we're continuing a focus on Everyone His Witness. We invite you to that. We're going to be taking a look this morning at Jesus' encounter with the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, as part of a pattern for worship, or for witness. Next week, also, as a piece of our service, but more importantly in Bible class, and then in the afternoon, Mr. Gary Cease will be with us to encourage and strengthen us and challenge us to how does the Savior's love come home to us and how do we share that then with other people. Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and it's our custom to prepare for the celebration of Easter with midweek Advent services that begins, with midweek Lenten service that begins, obviously, with Ash Wednesday. This year, the congregation is trying, we're in an experiment, to do the two services at 4:30 and 7. 4:30 and 7 instead of 10 and 7. We're going to test that out, see that how that does or does not help the congregation in its worship life. Real briefly, quick reminder as we leave worship this morning. Last week, this week, we have an occasion, as you are interested, willing, able, to share in a bit of a door offering in assistance to the father of Kelly Meese, who suffered a fire in Texas, lost everything in that fire. Kelly was down there last week trying to be of help to her dad. She's back, and already there's been typical kind generosity. A special announcement this morning. And I'd like to invite Amy Deaver, a principal of our grade school, to come forward. I'm going to try and move this mic, Amy, for you to use it. Does this one work? Does this one work? I'll let you use that.
I just have some exciting news to share with you. On Friday, our child care committee received word that we were awarded the grant from the Department of Health and Human Services for our child care. They awarded us $7,891, which we'll be able to use for lots of toys and equipment and things that we need, like cots for our child care center. So that was very exciting news, and we want to be sure to thank all of those on our board for Parish Ed and all those who've been helping on the child care committee with getting that grant. And the other news I have for you this morning is I have wine tasting tickets here this morning. I'm sure you've heard about our new fundraiser coming up in just a few weeks. After church, I will be available at the back if you would like to purchase some wine tasting tickets. They are $25 in advance, and all of the funds raised from our wine tasting will be used to purchase some new STEM curriculum activities for the school. So that's another exciting thing. So please, if you can, mark your calendar and get your tickets soon.
Thank you so much, and Rich, congratulations to the congregation and to all who have been investing so much effort to discuss that and make that act of care and ministry possible here in our community. This morning, we're going to make use of Divine Service Setting 3. That's on page 184. You may want to mark that ahead of time. Our opening hymn is number 413 for this Transfiguration Sunday. Let's join in singing as Arvid leads us now in the melody and the singing of hymn 413. Page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. As many of you know, it's our custom to kneel here at St. Paul for confession. Let's do that. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise. Found on the buff-colored half-sheet insert is the intro psalm, or the entrance psalm for today. Let's respond, read this responsively this morning, half verse by half verse. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. The Lord is great in Zion. Let them praise your great and awesome name. The King in his might loves justice. Exalt the Lord our God, worship at his footstool. Together, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy mountain. We turn back to the hymnal, to page 186. We cry for mercy, and then give honor to God with the angels. Glory be to God on high. The Lord be with you. And with your spirit. Let us pray. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, You confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the lessons. Transfiguration Sunday is a transition, everyone, from the experience of Epiphany that we've been in since Christmas. And in Epiphany season, we see the majesty of the Son of God made flesh. And it builds to this wonderful experience of transfiguration today in the gospel lesson. And now we're going to enter into the experience of Lent, in which we are focused on the reality that the Son of God became the Son of Man and is fully human with us. And so we close Transfiguration singing the song of the angels, "Glory to God in the highest." That we sang at Christmas time. It's from Luke 2. That's the last time we're going to sing that now until Easter morning. And so it is as if we're bidding goodbye to this glorious song. And on this Transfiguration Sunday, the glory of the loving Son of God enters into our human experience. That's exactly what he did at Christmas. And so there is this whole flow that's going on. In order better to understand that, this morning's Old Testament lesson begins from 2 Kings, the second chapter, the first verse. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel, and the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep it quiet." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho, and the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" He answered, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophet also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water. And the water was parted to one side and to the other till the two of them could go over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. This is the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Ascribe to the Lord the glory, do his name, bring an offering, and come into his courts. I invite that we rise and turn to page 190 this morning. And let's join in singing the Alleluia verse that you find there. The Holy Gospel and the sermon text according to St. Mark's Gospel, the 9th chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated, except for the children who are going to be singing. We have the great joy of having them with us this morning. You can all be seated right where you are, and if there are other children who want to come up for the children's message, you're sure welcome to come. You're sure welcome to come. Come on up. You can come even though your brother won't. Here comes one. Good morning. Do people ever say this to you? They look at you, and maybe it's a friend of your mother or dad's, or maybe it's one of your aunts or uncles. Well, good morning. How are you? Nice to see you. You want to come up? Any more? Anybody feel childish and want to come on? Do any of your aunts or uncles or friends of your parents ever look at you and say, you look just like your mother, or you look just like your dad? They ever say that to you? Who do you look like? Your dad? That's a good thing. Okay? Do you look like your dad? Do you look like both of them? Maybe your eyes like your mom and your nose like your dad, or your smile like your dad? I was looking at a picture of my oldest daughter, and there are some parts that just don't look like it, and then it suddenly dawned on me. My oldest daughter has the same nose as my grandmother. Isn't that something? So who do you look like? You know? In fact, one time I said to one of my nieces, I said, you look just like your dad at that age. And she got mad at me, and she said, I look like me. All of us have some things in our family that we may look like mom or dad or grandma, or maybe what my youngest daughter looks just like her cousin, and her cousin looks just like her. Okay? They could be twins. That's just the way it is. But today we're going to talk not just how we look in our face, like our eyes, or maybe like our grandfather's eyes, or maybe our hands are just like our uncle or aunt, or maybe our face or the sound of our voice just like mom or dad. Because you and I have a bigger person we want to look like, and that's God himself. And not just to look like God on the outside, because God doesn't really have a face. He's a spirit. But to look like God on the inside. That's why you sang that beautiful song, I am trusting you, Lord Jesus. Because when we're just like ourselves, sometimes we're pretty selfish, aren't we? And I lose my temper, or we get impatient, or we get scared, and we get upset, we get proud, and do all kinds of silly stuff. And we want to start to look like God, not just on the outside, but in the heart. Well, then we have to know, well, what does God's heart look like if I need to look like it? And you just sang about it. You said, I'm trusting you, Lord Jesus. It's when we know Jesus in our hearts. That's when our hearts look like God's hearts. That's what the message is going to be about this morning. And I guess the children's message is over. Why don't you go back to where you were sitting now with Mom and Dad? I'm going to invite you all to turn to the language of the Nicene Creed that you find on page 192. Please rise as we join in confessing our faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. And was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. We turn to hymn number 414 and join in singing. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and from his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the very heart of God. Our focus this Transfiguration Sunday is the Holy Gospel in Mark 9, and please listen again to this brief verse. A cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. That's our text in Jesus. Christian friends, did you ever have the experience at some point in your life where you were watching your parents, one of them, maybe both, whatever, and you caught a vision of their soul? I do not mean the kind of thing in which you know about your parents, or when they were trying to teach you, or when you were just observing them in the day. It's one of those sidelong glances that we're given the privilege of from time to time, principally because our parents don't know we're watching them at that point. And it is this elusive little glance into their very heart and their being. Perhaps we saw something we really didn't want to see. Their despair, their discouragement, some difficulty that they lived with for a lifetime. Or maybe it was the wonderful kind of aha sort of moment that said, oh, Mom and Dad are human beings just like I am and live with their doubts. Perhaps it was some glance of insight into recognizing pieces of what shaped them in the way that they are. Some little trigger that fell together in which the person you understood just a little bit better. Oh, that's why they are the way they are. Not that you were trying to control them. It was almost this this awesome sort of thing in which you didn't quite know how to handle it. Because it was a glimpse into them as an absolute individual. And generally speaking, in the roles that we have to one another, parents, children, friends, pastors, members of congregations and whatnot, we tend not to see them. But there are these glimpses we get into the very center of what it means to be that particular individual. When we catch them unawares, and all of a sudden it is as if it's all open before us. It's a remarkable experience. It's awe-inspiring. It can cause us to be more tender, more aware, more conscious of the mystery of what it means to be that person. It happens not just with parents. It can happen with a spouse. It can happen with our children. It can happen with a neighbor next door, in which all of a sudden there is this little click that goes on that we see them in new and different appreciation instead of just putting them into a category and fitting them into a box and saying, oh, that's the way they are. Because, and then you list the categories. No, all of a sudden, their heart is there in our hands. A deeper comprehension of what they're about. I hope you've had that experience. Because that's what today's text is about. It is a glimpse into the very heart of God. God does it on purpose. But he's also doing it almost in a hidden way. He's letting us get a glimpse and a glance right into the core of what he's all about, because that's really what church is about. It's really what worship is about, and it's what we yearn for. To get a glimpse into the heart of God, and that's what we're given. Most interesting about St. Mark's Gospel. Three times in the course of the gospel, God says, "This is my son." Now, from the very get-go, Mark's gospel starts out the beginning of the gospel of Jesus the Christ, and most of the ancient manuscripts have the Son of God. Okay. But there is this remarkable experience then at the baptism of Jesus, which after Jesus is baptized, and we observe this the first Sunday in January, right after Christmas, right after Epiphany, we celebrate the baptism of Jesus. And in Mark's gospel, as Jesus comes up out of the water, the voice of the Father comes from a cloud, just like in the Transfiguration, and says, "This is my son. You are my son." In Mark's gospel, that's just between the Father and the Son. It's not noted in Mark's gospel that the people around Jesus hear that. So that Jesus is singled out in his total humanity also with a claim of the Father. That is far more than merely talking about the fact that he is the second person of the Holy Trinity. For the Father to claim him as his son is to say, you are bearing who I am, and I am claiming you the same as I did the Israelites of old when I said through Moses at the burning bush, Israel is my firstborn son. Let my son go. That's the voice of the Father. It's the same voice that spoke at your baptism that said, you are my child. Son, daughter, it makes no difference. The Father's voice claimed you in the face of everything else. Now we get the voice of the Father here at his transfiguration because Jesus has done this remarkable ministry of miracles and preaching and casting out demons. And he is brought to this pinnacle experience. In chapter 8, Jesus finally turns to his disciples and says, okay, you've watched me do all this. Who do people say that I am? And the disciples give various answers. And Peter says, you are the Christ. And Jesus said, you are correct. Then he begins to explain what it means for him to be the Christ. Now he says that you realize that God is intruding into the world through me and in me. And I must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the church leaders and the government leaders. And I must be crucified and I must die. And Peter said, oh no, that's not what it's all about. If you're truly who you say you are, we are ready to have a kingdom ushered in which everybody knows it absolutely for sure. And we all follow after you, and those of us closest to you get all these wonderful things, including power, prestige, honor, wealth, all of it. And Jesus turns to Peter and says, that's demonic thinking. That's not how the kingdom operates. And then comes transfiguration. He goes up on a mountain with Peter, James, and John, and it becomes obvious he truly is God in the flesh. Then he goes down the mountain, and twice more in Mark's gospel, as they make their way to Jerusalem, Jesus predicts the fact, I must go to Jerusalem and suffer and die. And their disciples increasingly are uncertain about all of this. Until finally, the night before his crucifixion, they all forsake him and flee. And it is standing at the foot of the cross, under the dark clouds of God's wrath upon his own son, that a Gentile centurion says for the third time, this same thing that's all the way through Mark's gospel, from Mark chapter 1 to here in chapter 9, and then down to chapter 15, as only in Mark, a Gentile centurion looks at the dead Savior and says, truly, this is the Son of God. Because even a Gentile, even this centurion, refined by all that the world has brought, sees on the cross something that's going on. He's looking right into the heart of God. He's getting a glimpse of who God is and how God operates. In so many different ways, we like to be just like St. Peter at this thing called Caesarea Philippi, where Peter says, oh no, Lord, it has to be glorious and wonderful. I want to know that I'm absolutely right. I want to know that I am guaranteed these things and that I have the correct understanding. I want to see to it that if you are God and I'm following you, I'm going to be blessed with everything that I think I deserve to get. And even the Son of God, perfect as he is, takes up the mantle and the shoulder of being human and living with the fear and the terror that God may not be there. That's what the humanity of the Savior is all about. You see, you and I long to hear the voice of the Father say not only to the Lord Jesus, but to the Lord Jesus and through the Lord Jesus to you and to me, you are my son. I have not forgotten you. In fact, it is because we can look into the heart of God in and only the person of the Lord Jesus, we can be absolutely certain of this. Because from the cross in St. Mark and Matthew's gospel, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where's the voice of the Father in the middle of what I'm having to bear? Because he willingly shoulders the entire mantle with us and for us so that that voice can come back to you and to me. You are my son. I am still your father. I still claim you. We raised with the children. Who do you look like, Mom or Dad? We would like to be assured we look like Christian people. And we try. We labor at it. But then we live with those days and those moments of wondering, have I believed all of this in vain? Or if I'm really Christian, why this? If you and I are really Christian, why do we carry in our hearts some of the resentments that we do against other people? If you and I are really Christian, why do we get so arrogant in our judgments of other people? If you and I are really Christian, why is our devotion so fleeting and so flitting? Why is it so hard for us to bear the everyday? Maybe it's because we think having heard the message, we somehow arrive permanently and we never go through any of that anymore. Well, good luck. If you got the secret of that, see me after church. I'd like to know what it is. Because what I've become convinced of is that every day, the faith I had in Christ yesterday is not going to do me any good today, because I'm not living in yesterday. I'm living in today. Aren't you? The faith you confessed at some point in your life was well and fine. What's going on today? The way you follow a particular pattern in devotion is well and fine. But the difficulty is we're not looking at the external patterns. On Transfiguration Sunday, we're looking into the heart of God. And that's what the centurion saw at the cross. He saw God's heart, and he saw his. Because he's the one who crucified Jesus. The Father's voice had said at Jesus' baptism to Jesus, "You are my son, I'll bring you through this, and you and I are doing this so that we lay bare our heart in the way we are one with another and together, and our encompassing love of everybody in the human race." At Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John are given a glimpse that Moses and Elijah and all of that was pointing to this heart of God right here. Listen to this. And finally, the centurion is brought to his knees by comparing his own heart to the heart of God that's willing to sacrifice his own son, even for the centurion that put him to death. And the centurion, I suspect, is profoundly struck. I don't look like the heart of the Father, and that's exactly what I've been yearning for all my life. Isn't that what you and I yearn for? And yet we try to find it in such artificial ways. We try to prop up our notion that we are sons and daughters of God by how much money we got in the bank, how our relationships are going, how many people are in church, how the weather's going, whether our team is winning or the other team losing, whether our political party is right or wrong. We try to go through all of these fabricated notions of guaranteeing to ourselves that we are indeed the daughters and sons of God. And it doesn't work because it's all so fleeting and it's gone in an instant. And then we find ourselves having to control the world or tell ourselves lies or live in the fear that our lies are not at all as true as we want them to be. And we long to hear the voice of the Father. And for Jesus' sake, I can tell you, you are the daughter of God. You are the son of God because of Jesus. I can say that today. You and I have gotten a glimpse into the very heart of God. I, for my part, am so embarrassed at the way my heart keeps looking for the other things in addition, instead of, and the very heart of God pushes all of that away and dispels it and says, forget all the rest. You belong to me, and I love you. I love you enough to have given up my own son for you. That's how much I love you. That's what's included on this Transfiguration Sunday from the heart of God. Glory of God, the majesty and the transfiguration, no question about it. But the real glory and majesty of God, the real name and honor of God, is how much He loves you through Christ, for Christ's sake. And you've heard it again. Let that echo in your ears. In Christ Jesus, amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. We turn back to the hymnal, to the offertory that's on page 192. We rise and sing together. Please be seated. We take occasion to express our faith in the Savior as we share our offerings.
Thank you for joining us this morning on KWBE at St. Paul's Beatrice. We are glad you chose to join us. This is Dr. Carissa Hoops, and I would like to personally invite you to come to church on Sunday mornings at 8 or 10:30 or Monday nights at 7. Do you need to speak to a pastor? Please call the church at 402-228-1540. Have a blessed day and hope to see you soon.
In our prayers this morning, besides those we have named in our worship folder, we want to include the father of our second grade teacher, Jessica Leesburg. Her father, Dan, is hospitalized in Omaha in challenging condition. Let's rise for prayer. Gracious and loving triune God, speak out of your heart and the reality of you having become flesh with us, and dispel all of our wonder, our excuses, our self-satisfaction by the power of your deep love for us, demonstrated in what you have done for us in and through Christ. Speak to the moments of doubt and pride and despair in our lives with that reality, and affirm again to us that we are indeed your children in spite of all that occurs to us. And then equip us for such loving one with another. We commend to you the ill and distressed of our community and our congregation. We pray especially for the many who are suffering from various strains of the flu and pneumonia and the other maladies of these winter months. We pray also for Dan, for Louise, Sadie, Bonnie, Ken, that you grant health and strength if it is your will, but above all, faith and peace of heart and mind. We lay before you all of the families that we are privileged to serve in and through our parochial school, and pray especially this day for Ted and Brooke, for Dan and Kunjan, for Greg and Holly, for Melody and Rod. We ask that what we do with and for them may be of great grace and blessing. We lay before you the ongoing concerns and burdens and hopes and dreams of our lives, as many in our community lie awasting, lie facing living and dying. Gracious God, wrap them in your love, even as we hold them in our love and our dreams. We lay before you this congregation in its hopes and dreams and cares, this community in its fears and its planning, this nation in all of its turmoils. These are blessings we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We turn to page 194 to the preparation for the Lord's Supper. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who at his transfiguration revealed his glory to his disciples, that they might be strengthened to proclaim his cross and resurrection, and with all the faithful look forward to the glory of life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. We pray together, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Please turn to page 199. We're going to join in singing this song that Simeon sang. Please rise. We're going to join in singing this prayer of thanksgiving that Simeon sang when the baby Jesus was in the temple, as we now also have tasted and seen his love. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen.